Grace of God. Amen. Boy, what a blessing. Turn in your Bible to one of the most precious chapters in all of Scripture, Psalm 23. Turn in your Bibles there, Psalm 23. If you don't have a Bible this morning, the text verses will be on the screen for you, Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm has comforted many a saint in its darkest hour. It's brought great joy to the hearts of God's people. And I'm glad it's good for the mountaintop and it's good for the valley, aren't you? And we can rejoice in the goodness of our great shepherd. It's been called the Pearl of Psalms. Somebody else called it the Psalm of Psalm. I entitled it the Song of the Shepherd. It's a psalm of life. As David is speaking of the work of God, the work of the Lord in his life as one of his sheep. And if you're saved today, the good news is that the Lord is your shepherd and you're one of his sheep and you can claim the truth of Psalm 23. And if you don't know the shepherd today, the good news is that he wants to be your shepherd. He does. And you can experience this truth as well. Psalm 23, verse 1, a psalm of David. Notice the Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything." Like the little girl that misquoted it in Sunday school. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd and that's all I want." That's pretty good, isn't it? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will," I like that, didn't say I may, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now I want to draw your attention to verse number 2 today. Alright, let's look back at verse number 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Isn't that sweet? Beside the still waters. It's in this verse, the Holy Spirit, through the psalmist David, is painting a beautiful picture upon the canvas of our minds. It's almost as if we can transport ourselves there. It's here in our mind's eye, we see a lush green meadow of tall, tender, sweet grass. There with a still pond, crystal clear water. And there dotted on the hillside are sheep lying with their legs folded underneath them. And in the backdrop, we see their shepherd vigilantly watching over them. And let me tell you what it brings to my mind. I trust it brings this to your mind. It's a picture of serenity, of peace. I believe it's a picture of rest and refreshment and satisfaction. That's what I see. Matter of fact, just thinking of green meadows, still waters, lying sheep, and you hear, and there they're just laying there with not a care in the world, and it fosters within us a longing to be in such a place free from stress and anxiety and the cares that fill our noisy souls. And I'm just going to tell you, without a shepherd, sheep can't rest. You're going to learn that today. And let me just say this, without a shepherd, neither can you and I rest. Matter of fact, you're going to find that the Bible talks of a heart without a shepherd, the unsaved, that it's restless, that it casts up much, like the oceans of the water that are continually in turmoil and casting up mire and dirt. Listen, can I tell you, there is no rest apart from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. But dear child of God, listen, as one of His sheep, He can give you rest. Good news is, because the Lord's my shepherd, I can enter into His rest and experience His peace. Matter of fact, every one of us are going to choose to live on one of two planes. I'm either going to live worry-free or I'm going to live worry-filled. I'm either going to live a fretful life. A fret, to fret, is an old English word that means to fill with stress and anxiety and worry. We're just fretting a fretful life, or whether or not I'm going to live a restful life. And in Psalm 23 and verse 2, our loving shepherd teaches us the secret to a restful life. Jesus gives us rest. Let's pray and let's look into this truth today if we could. Father, thank You for the sweet spirit in the service today. Lord, the wonderful music, how our hearts have already been blessed. Lord, thank You that You're my shepherd. I sure don't deserve You, but I'm thankful for You. Lord, I know that's a testimony of many people sitting in this building today. God, probably every one of us, by the time Saturday night was over of a busy weekend, we said, boy, I need some rest. But yet, Lord, we realize that rest is fleeting in our lives at times, but yet that's exactly what You want to give us. Lord, You want us to be at rest, to be at peace in our hearts. You want to quiet the noise of our soul. And Lord, I pray You'll help us to understand what it means to lie down in green pastures. Well, sure, thank You for it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The secret to a restful life. When I look in verse number 2, I learned something right off the bat. You're going to find two action words in this verse, two verbs. I want you to underline them in your Bible. Notice the word in verse 2, maketh. Do you see that? That is a verb. That's a word of action. It literally means he makes me and keeps on making me to lie down. It's in the present tense. Look down below it. You're going to see another verb, another action word. It's the word leadeth. Leadeth. He leadeth me. Aren't you glad that He leads and He keeps on leading? Isn't that good? God's constantly at work in my life. Now notice that these two words are in between two personal pronouns. He and me. Do you see that? He maketh me. He leadeth me. It's the action of the shepherd. Can I tell you that the rest that's pictured in Psalm 23 is not the sheep's rest. It's the shepherd's rest. He makes them to lie down. He leads them beside the still water. Sheep, by their very nature, are restless animals. Matter of fact, they're easily agitated, which in turn makes it almost impossible for them to lay down. In his classic work, Philip Keller, on Psalm 23, he called it A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He makes an interesting observation about sheep, and here's what he wrote. He said, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. He said, owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they're free from all fear. If sheep are fearful, they won't lay down. He goes on to write that because of their social behavior within a flock of sheep, do you know that chickens have a pecking order? You know, that big mother hen or whatever will peck the other hens, and she said, hey, I'm the boss hen, all right? Well, sheep have a butting order. They'll butt each other, and the sheep that's got probably that old rangy ewe that's, probably got the most years on her and all of that, you know, she's in charge, and she's butting all the others saying, hey, listen, that's my spot. I'm going to lay down right there. That's my food. And if she wants what you got, she'll come and butt you out of the way, so to speak. And whenever that's going on and that rivalry in the flock, there's friction there and sheep are agitated and they won't lay down. And then goes on to say that because if tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. It's only when they're free of these pests, Philip Keller writes, that they can relax. And then lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they're in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. I guess what he's really saying to us is what Psalm 23 is saying. Sheep have to be made to lie down. And that takes place when they're undisturbed by the things that would normally disturb them. Those things that perplex them and agitate them and make them restful, make them fretful. They're uncomfortable, they're distressed, they're restless. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? No predators to frighten them, no spats to ruffle them, no bugs to annoy them, no empty grumbling stomachs to agitate them. And when all of those needs are met, sheep will naturally lay down. And you know, sheep cannot do this on their own. This happens because of the work of the shepherd in the life of the sheep. And you know what the truth is tonight? You can buy sleep, but you can't buy rest. And peace and tranquility and serenity of heart that comes from a relationship with the shepherd. Matter of fact, that is the scene that's before us, a flock of sheep restfully lying down, munching on rich green grass without a care in the world. It's a picture of a worry-free life. It's a restful life because God, their shepherd, has delivered them from some things, and God desires to deliver us from the perplexities of life. You see, just like sheep, by nature, we're easily agitated. We're distressed. We're restless. We're anxious. We're worried because of the perplexities of life. I mean, we worry over finances. We worry over how we're going to make ends meet, bills having to be paid. We got more month than we do money. Where my job hold out, my health, our marriage, family. I mean, you can sit down today and make a list, an endless list of worries, can't we? Understand that this picture of sheep lying in the green pastures in no way suggests that all the things that could cause the sheep to worry have been eliminated. Listen to this. Doesn't mean that there's no coyotes or cougars or bears still out there that want to attack them. Those dangers are still real as they lay in these green pastures. The bugs and flies are not on the endangered species list. Those little irritants still exist. There are still dry spells and dry places when the grass is not readily available and hunger is an ever-present reality. However, in this picture, the sheep just aren't worried about it. They're not taking thought about all these things. And it reminds us of the words of our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, in Matthew 6, when three times He says, "Take no thought for your life." That word, to take thought, means to be restless, to be anxious, to be worried. It's the idea of being pulled apart, our minds being divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts, legitimate feelings and destructive feelings. God said, take no thought, don't be anxious and worried and restless about all these things. The things that agitate sheep. And you know what? We have these pesky irritants in their life. There's pecking order on the job where people are jockeying for position. And then it annoys and agitates. I mean, listen, just get on 52 and people are jockeying to be in front. I ride with my wife and she tells me, we're riding along and if we're at a stoplight, boy, I mean, I set back. If she's driving, that doesn't happen very often. Normally, I'm driving unless I'm sick or dead. And so, I mean, we take off down the road and I said, what are you doing? She said, I want to be first. I think that's what everybody thinks. I don't want to be behind anybody, you know. And it's just because of the agitation of being on the highway. If she's out front, she don't have to worry about anybody else. You know what I'm saying? And things in life agitate us, don't they? We worry about so many things. We're so fretful. Perplexities of life, green pastures, pastures of tender grass, the first young tender shoots of grass or vegetation that springs up. Somebody called it the choice grasses. You see, anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. And if we encourage it, that means we attend to it. It cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. We become obsessed with worries to the point that they overwhelm us and they rob our joy. They steal our peace. They choke out God's promises in our lives and they cause us to abandon our trust in the One who tells us to cast all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. And that is the picture of Psalm 23 verse 2. The sheep have just cast all of their care upon their shepherd and they don't have a care in the world. What a beautiful picture. Boy, I wish I could live like that most of the time, don't you? But the truth is, we can. Somebody wrote that Psalm 23 is the most well-known passage in the Bible, but it's the least believed. We really don't think God can handle what's going on in our lives, and that's why we worry about it. We just somehow think that the irritants and the agitations and the problems and the perplexities of life are bigger than God. The sheep never thought that the perplexities of life were larger than their shepherd. The Judean countryside where David led his sheep was not like a vast expanse of rolling meadows. You go out into the country, it doesn't take long to get outside a king and you're in the wilderness. You ever notice that? You get out there and it's not long, you see a lot of farmland, you see green pastures and you see all that, and sometimes they go as far as the eye can see in certain places, especially if you go out west and you get on the vast prairies and all of that, and the green stretches as far as the eye can see. But that wasn't like that where David was leading his sheep. No, he was in the wilderness of Judea. It was a very rocky, dry, barren place. But the good shepherd knew where the shady areas were that held the rich green patches of grass, and he would lead his sheep into those wilderness oases, and there the sheep would contentedly feed on the dew-drenched grass. They would drink from the still pools of fresh water. They would lie down free from the worrisome things around them. They are content in the tender care of their shepherd who provides all these things. Do you remember what Jesus said? Take no thought for your life. And he goes down the list. He says this, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things that perplex us. A worry-free life doesn't mean that we have nothing to worry about. It does not mean that all the perplexities of life have been eliminated. A worry-free life means that we refuse to be disturbed by the many fears and agitations that seek to crowd their way into our hearts and minds to fill us with stress and anxiety and worry. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that worry never robs tomorrow. Listen to me, it never robs tomorrow of its sorrows. It only saps today of its joy. Have you ever noticed that? It sure does. But not only does it speak to us, dear friend, of the perplexities of life, God wants to deliver us from the possibilities of life. You see that in spite of what's going on the outside, we can be at rest on the inside. That there can be an inner calmness of heart, a rest, so to speak, that comes from knowing that our heavenly shepherd is near and is in control of all these things. One of my favorite songs on a CD I listen to is Bring It All to Him. You know how often we fail to bring it all to Him? Cast all my care upon Him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Corrie ten Boom said, don't wrestle, just nestle. And there's times that you and I need to nestle up to our heavenly great shepherd and know that He's near and He cares for our lives and He's in control. But not only is there the perplexities, but also the possibilities. The perplexities that worry us come from what's happening in my life. The possibilities that worry us come from what could happen in my life. Herbert Lockyer said, when a Christian worries, he's living in the wrong climate, for any kind of worry is foreign to his life in Christ. If we're honest, most of our worries are about things that haven't happened yet, what could be. The great what-ifs of life, isn't that right? We're torn apart as we anxiously fret, and we lose sleep and rest over, and we're fitful all through the night of what might happen or what could happen. You know, there's a difference between legitimate concern and worthless worry. There is. A worrier looks into the unknown and imagines everything that could possibly occur, but he can't control any of it. The difference between concern and worry is the difference between obedience and sin. Concern is a legitimate emotion which helps us focus on a problem. A mother is concerned about her children playing too close to the highway, so she moves them to rectify the situation. She takes them to a place of safety. Worry, on the other hand, is a paralyzing emotion which occupies our minds with fear and even about events which we have no control. Concern helps us to develop solutions. Worry keeps us from solutions. Concern is an issue for today. Worry is an issue for tomorrow. But you know what really is interesting? I could cite study after study after study after study. There's no need to do that because we all know it. The fact is that about 90% of our worries are totally unfounded. They never happen. And the smaller percentage of the worries that could happen, we couldn't do anything about it if we did worry. Wouldn't change a thing. That's why Jesus said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. He's not talking about sin there. He's talking about the calamities and the situations and the circumstances of life. You know what He's saying? He's saying here that there's enough problems today without worrying for tomorrow. Somebody wrote, some of your hurts you have cured and the sharpest you still have survived. But what torment of grief you've endured from hurts that have never arrived. Most things that make us sigh and fret are things that haven't happened yet. Isn't that the truth? Somebody said, worry's the interest we pay on trouble before it comes. When we worry, we're carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. We're trying to carry 2 days in one. And God said, sufficient to the days, the evil thereof. The Bible says, as is thy day, not days, not months, not years, as is thy day, so shall thy strength be. God gives me the grace for today to enable me to go through life. I need to trust Him for today. You say, preacher, why not trust Him for tomorrow? And God here yet, Jesus might come and we don't even have to worry about tomorrow. Let's bring it all to Him and leave it there. Amen? I don't know who holds tomorrow. I mean, what holds tomorrow? But I know who holds it. My all-wise, loving, heavenly shepherd that has my life in His hands. He makes me lie down. We've seen the deliverance from a fretful life that as we focus our mind on the shepherd, as we depend on Him, as we take our cares to Him, and recognize that it's His rest, not our rest at work in our lives. He desires to deliver us from worry and fear and anxiety and stress. He desires to give us rest. Let me take you the next step now over the secret to a restful life. Not only is there a desire for deliverance from a fretful life, there is the design of a restful life. Look again at verse number 2. He maketh me. He leadeth me. Again, this is the action of the shepherd, His working in my life. As the sheep follow their shepherd, they are made to lie down. Philip Keller said, the presence, listen to what he said. He talked about this from experience. He said, talking about a shepherd, he said, my presence in the field with them calms the sheep. You know what that means? His nearness assures his sheep that everything will be all right. And I'm glad that my God's not some kind of far-off God. He's a near-at-hand God. He is ever near. He is nigh them to a broken heart. His presence assures us in the perplexing times of life. When our soul is in turmoil, that because He's our shepherd, everything is all right. It's going to be okay. And that doesn't mean that tragedy doesn't come at times. It doesn't mean that I don't go through hard times. But the good news is, friend, that I have one who will sustain me through it all. He can still the storms. Amen? Amen. He can do that. Amen. Let me give you some thoughts real quickly about how to make this reality in your life. Number one, look to the shepherd. The design of a restful life, look to the shepherd. He's near. A man, a successful businessman, told the story that in his younger years he spent a night with a shepherd on the Texas prairie. It was in the springtime and the snows had recently melted, and he said it was like a page in a picture book. There he was with the shepherd, his three sheepdogs, and about 2,000 sheep grazing out on the rich green grass. He said that evening the shepherd built a great large bonfire. And as the sun was setting, the sheep had grazed. They were settling in for the night. And suddenly, in the twilight of the evening, you could hear the wail of a pack of coyotes that pierced the air. And the dogs began to growl as they peered out into the darkness. The sheep, which had been lying down in the field, suddenly rose to their feet, fearfully bleating to one another. The shepherd began to toss more logs on the fire. He wrote, the flames shot up. And he said in the glow of the fire, he looked out into the field and he said it was like there were thousands of little lights looking back at me. He realized that that was the reflection of the fire in the eyes of the sheep. Now I want you to listen to this. He said, filled with fear, those sheep instinctively looked toward the shepherd. In the midst of danger, the sheep were not looking out into the darkness of what could be. They were looking to the shepherd for what can be, safety and protection. Let me just tell you what's the nature of a sheep. The nature of a sheep is when dangers come, it doesn't look out. It looks into the shepherd. And friend, when danger comes to my life and to your life, we need to quit looking around and we need to begin looking up to Him. Cast our eyes upon Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In those moments of fear and worry and anxiety, cast your eyes upon the shepherd. That is where you're going to find help and strength and rest and peace. God didn't say, look at all these things. He said, look to me. Look to me. Friend, are you looking to Him today? Are your eyes on all these things around you, the perplexities and the possibilities of life? Or are you looking at the shepherd over life, the Lord Jesus Christ? The psalmist wrote, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. David said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. I'm reminded the little girl's afraid of the dark, and her mommy came in there and she said, honey, it's okay. The Lord's with you. He's watching over you. And with that, she just turned out the light and went to sleep. The next morning, her mama said, honey, did you get over being afraid of the dark? And she said, well, mommy, if God's watching over him, there's no use in both of us staying up. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for me, pray tell, who can be against me? Paul says. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The fear of the Lord absolves all other fears. I jotted that in my notes. The fear of the Lord absolves or dissolves all other fears. Peace, has been said many times, is not the absence of danger, but the presence of the shepherd. Number one, you want a restful life? You want to be delivered from the fretfulness of life? You want to live a restful life? Then look to the shepherd. Number two, learn of the shepherd. Look if you would please, in verse number two again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know sheep never eat laying down. They always graze standing up upright on all fours. They never just sort of lay around in a shady spot. They don't like us eating potato chips. You know, we sort of sat down and relax, got a bag of potato chips, you know, we're, you know, eating nuts or potato chips. We're sort of just, no, never a sheep. Never a sheep. No, they're always grazing till they're filled, and then they find a shady spot and they lay down and then they ruminate. They begin to digest their food and all of that. Once they've eaten their fill, they lie down. And when the psalmist says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, he means that the sheep have already grazed to the full. They're satisfied. Their needs have all been met. They're resting in the blessing of the shepherd. And green pastures to us as Christians is the rich pastures of God's Word. Let me give you some verses. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I'm going to preach a message here not long. I'm working on it, on honey from the rock. Out of Deuteronomy 32. I hope we'll have a hallelujah good time with that one. Amen. Aren't you glad we can get honey out of the rock? Not just any rock. Aren't you glad He's our rock? Do you know that my rock is also my shepherd and my shepherd's my rock? See, God shares with us in all of these different metaphors, all these different analogies of what He is in our lives. We have a wonderful God today. Christian, listen. Don't live a fretful life. Live a restful life. If God is your shepherd, everything's okay. He's in control. Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Now, you know what a sheep does is pretty gross. It just really does. And I'm not going to try to be overly gross. They'll eat to the fill. They got multiple stomachs. They sort of bring the food back up and they sort of chew on it, you know, and nourishes them. And I'm sure it's sweet to them. Now, it doesn't really appetize me, okay? Not hors d'oeuvre for me, I can promise you that, okay? Not my main dish. But yet, as you and I as Christians wade out into the pastures of the Word of God, can I remind you that this book is about Him, our shepherd. If you go into this book and you miss Jesus, you've missed what this book is all about. He's almost on every page of the Bible. I could go through the books of the Bible and show you how they relate to the Lord Jesus. The Bible is about our shepherd, and as we wade out in the rich pastures, we need to pull out something from our heart to take us through the day, to meditate upon, to ponder over, to run over and over in our mind, because when we begin to know Him, our meditation of Him will be sweet. And he goes on to say, I will be glad in the Lord. Did you get that? Friend, rest, joy, a worry-free life is in the Lord. It's there in the lush green pastures of His Word that we graze on the riches of His goodness. We nourish ourselves in His precious truths. We avail ourselves of His sweet promises. It's there that we abide in His unfailing presence. It's only as we feed in the pastures of this book that we learn of our shepherd and His care in our lives. But friend, don't just learn it. Friend, live it in your daily life. Live it because He's the true to the promises and the truths that He gives us. Often in those fretful and worrisome moments of life, we neglect those pastures. Did you know that? We get worried. We quit reading the Bible. We quit praying. We quit walking with God. Many times we'll get out of church. Many a Christian in a trying time of life has gotten away from God and they've drifted rather than drawing. You ever notice that? It's during those times that we need to steal away into His presence. It's during those times that I need to feed on His Word. That's when I need to pour out my heart in prayer and then lie down in the green pastures of His rest. I need to give it all to Him. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I'm just going to tell you, friend, busyness might be our greatest enemy. I hate to... How's your day? Busy, busy, busy. Ain't that what we say? And we understand it's busy. And life is a hustle and bustle. We understand that. And more in our modern age than it ever has been before. I understand all of that. But yet, that does not negate that there are times that we need to force ourselves to steal away by the rich green pastures of His Word, to kneel at the still water of prayer, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to whisper His sweet peace to our hearts, to tell us that everything's all right. Our shepherd's in control. We need to learn of Him. Friend, when you know Him, it dispels fears. And then number three, not only look to the shepherd, not only learn of the shepherd, but let her see, lean on the shepherd. It's called trust. Do you know why the sheep could rest? You say, "Preacher, why?" Because they trusted their shepherd. That's why. That's why Jesus would say to a group of worried, agitated, restless disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Let me tell you something, church. Now listen to me this morning. God never tells you to understand Him. He doesn't. Jesus didn't say, "Understand Me." He said, "Trust Me. Trust Me. Trust Me." Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, my deliverer." Sheep don't always trust their shepherd. Did you know that? There's times that sheep aren't laying down. There's times they go their own way. They stray from the shepherd. And you know what? They get in trouble. That's why the shepherd, as he counts his flock at night, there's usually a straying sheep. And he's gone out away from the fold. And he looks and he said, "Oh, I had 100 sheep, but I only have 99. And he leaves the 99 safe in the fold. And he goes out and searches for that lost sheep. Friend, let me just tell you something. God is searching for you today. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." You know what He's saying? If you're not one of My sheep, I want you to. I want you to be one of My sheep. I want you to be saved. I want you to know that I died for your sins. I was buried. I rose again. I was the good shepherd that gave My life for you so that you can become one of My sheep and you can belong to Me, and then I'll take care of you and I'll love you and I'll minister to you. I'll give you rest, Jesus says. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." What a wonderful truth. But then there's times that we as His sheep stray, don't we? We think we can do it better than Him. We begin to stray from the heart of the shepherd, and we get out and we make a mess of our lives, and we get fearful and we get anxious and we get troubled. And Christian, I'm telling you something, you will never be at rest unless you're close to the shepherd. I will never be at rest unless I'm close to the shepherd. Some of the most fitful nights we'll sleep is those times that we are away from God in our heart. But thank God He restores my soul. Isn't that good? We have to learn the hard way that our shepherd knows best. It's only as we trust the shepherd that we peacefully rest in the meadows of life. Times we don't always trust our shepherd like we should, and somehow we think we can handle it. Isn't that true? You know, have you ever noticed that sometimes God doesn't meet our needs or answer our prayers or solve our problems exactly when we want Him to? And somehow we feel like He's let us down. Do you know that's not really true? Do you realize that our shepherd works on His time, not our time? He works in His way, not our way. He answers according to His will. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that right? Sure it is. Can I tell you, just because God delays in doing something in your life doesn't mean that God's not working or that He won't do something in your life. It's the knowledge that God will provide in His will, His way, according to His time, that'll bring rest to our souls. That His way is always best. And when you and I can come to that place that we realize, "God, Your will is best. Your way is best. You know best." Friend, that's when we're at rest. May I again gently remind you this morning that our rest, now listen to me, I'm almost finished, is not in a place. It's in a person. One of my memories whenever I think of rest is that commercial that somebody would go, Calgon, take me away. You know, and it was the idea that somehow or another, if I would get in the sudsy water of Calgon, that I would be in the rich green pastures of rest. The reality is our world is searching for rest and peace all around them. They're running to all kinds of things. And we're going to look at this when we come to the still waters. They're drinking from all kinds of fountains that will never refresh them. It will never satisfy them. That's why there's noise in their soul. That's why they're so distraught. They think that drugs, they think that alcohol, they think that perversive pleasure. They're looking for possessions and things and all of these things, thinking that these things are going to be peace and happiness and joy and rest. And it never does. It always leaves you empty and wanting more. Because your heart wasn't designed to be filled with things. Your heart's designed to be filled with a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. And friend, it's when our hearts are filled with the Creator, the One who created us, the One who died to save us. It's when our Shepherd lives within us that we can know His rest, and then we draw to Him, we look to Him, we grow in Him, we lean on Him. It's a person. It's not my peace, but His peace. It's not my rest, it's His rest. The Lord, our Shepherd, has promised us His rest. It's His rest. Let's just come to Him. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can I tell you that when you step forward to this altar, that you're not responding to me? I can't meet a need in your life. No, but He can. Amen. This is just sort of a meeting place with you and God. It's where you bring it to Him. This is where you bow before Him as your great Shepherd and you begin to tell it all to Him. Or maybe beside your bed, or maybe in a quiet place in the dark hours of the night that you steal away. But friend, don't go away without your Bible. You know what we do? We steal away and lay on the couch and cut on the TV. And wonder why we don't rest. I'm not saying that it's wrong to look at the news or this or that. I'm not saying that. But have you ever thought that maybe what you need to do is take your Bible? To steal into His presence. To take it to Him in prayer. To get honest with God. And say, God, this is what I'm worried about. And God, this is what I'm fearful of. And God, this is what's attacking my mind. And God, help me to lay it at Your feet. God, help me to quit picking it back up. God, help me to truly give it to You. Help me to rest in Your all-wise loving care in my life. God, give me Your grace to help in time of need. Friend, tell Him that you need sleep. Tell Him, say, God, You promised me sleep. Help me to rest in You that I might sleep and rest. I will lay me down and sleep, for Thou only makest me to dwell in safety. You say, preacher, what if I don't wake up in the morning? Well, if you're saved, that means you just woke up in heaven. See, that was good news. The night I got saved, I never worried about whether I woke up the next morning. Do you realize if God can deliver my soul from sin and hell, He can take care of anything else in my life? Christian, quit living a fretful life. Quit straying from the Shepherd. Quit trying to do it your way. Quit trying to handle it on your own and bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. Learn of Him. Lean on Him. As you do those things, He'll make you to lie down in green pastures. Doesn't mean all my troubles are going to go away. Doesn't mean everything around me is not noisy. But inwardly, I can experience peace. Isn't that really what we want? Why don't you come to Him today? If you know Him, He's your Shepherd. Why don't you confess to Him that you've been worrisome? You know, you need to call it what it is, lack of faith. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. You're not trusting Him. By the way, that's a sin. Confess it to Him. Ask God to help you trust Him, to lean on Him, to look to Him, to find Him faithful, because He'll never fail you. Never will. He's forever, forever faithful. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. His heads are bowed.